Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire, to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of McLennan Community College. Hosting the conversation is Rob Walliver, provost of the Waco and Williamson County campuses of Texas State Technical College. This program was recorded in the KWBU studios on August 20th, 2015.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Rob Walliver, talking today with Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of McLennan Community College. Good morning, Johnette.
Hello, Rob.
Wanted to talk to you a little bit this morning about leadership. This is a leadership series, but first I'm interested to know a little bit more about some of your background. You and I are friends, and I know some of that, but the listeners probably don't. I know you grew up in Louisiana, but I'd like to know how you found your way both from Louisiana to Texas and your way into higher education.
Well, I grew up in a small town in North Louisiana, Farmerville, and I went to the same school all my life, 12 years. And then I went to Louisiana College in Pineville, a small Baptist college. So I really have strong Louisiana roots. My mother was a school teacher, and my daddy had a filling station for a while, and then he worked for the state of Louisiana weighing trucks. So I come from rather humble backgrounds and have some interesting past, I guess. My grandfather played on the very first football team at the University of Alabama. They migrated from Alabama. He never drove a car. He only rode a horse. We have kind of an old family. And I'm told, and I'm sure it's true, that I have an ancestor, Huey P. Long, that people are familiar with. But my mother would say we really weren't Huey P. Long fans. And after reading the book, I'm kind of familiar with that. But I went to Louisiana College. I thought I was going to be a school teacher. And then my husband and I moved to Texas for him to get a master's in clinical psychology. So my life has kind of been one step upon another, and we were there for a while. And I worked at North Texas while I was there. I taught school a year before then. Then we moved to Vernon, Texas, and I worked at Vernon College for a while. And then we moved to Paris, Texas, and I did many things at Paris Junior College. I was a secretary for a while. I was the research office. I started the research program. I wrote grants. I was the resource development person. I was the registrar for a while. I was the human resources officer. I was computer services. I taught English. And that's where I went to Texas A&M Commerce and got my master's degree. But because I believed in the community college, I took some computer courses and accounting courses, and so I got a master's degree and then an associate degree. I did the reverse transfer. I was probably an early adopter of that. And then I finished my doctorate at Texas A&M Commerce. And we were there for about 14 years before I moved to Waco. And at Waco, I was first the CFO and then executive VP and then became president in about 09. So we love Waco. Lots of good things going on. I teach periodically. I have taught developmental English and success courses and that kind of thing. So we love this area, and life is good at MCC.
What it sounds to me like, you know, you've had a myriad of experiences that probably is a compliment to your role and leadership role in the institution, because you have had hands-on experience in so many sectors of education and higher ed. Is there one of those experiences you think it really had provided you with a sound base for a leadership position in higher education?
Well, I would have to say, and I did mention it, I was very active in high school in many things, but one thing that's still active today for me as far as any kind of relationship is Girl Scouts. And I think in Girl Scouts, we learned a lot of leadership, and I know that I did. The same kind of thing that I've heard you say before is we learned how to work as a team. And I went in 1965, I went to the very last Girl Scout Senior Roundup in Idaho, and my patrol is going back for the last reunion in a couple of weeks. So we're pretty excited about that. But I think you learn leadership by your experiences. And so that was very important to me, as well as the influence of my mother, I would say. She was a very active lady. She got up every morning early to make all of our clothes, because we didn't have store-bought clothes. And also, she was involved in everything that I was involved in, from playing sports, and I played basketball and volleyball and softball. And also, I was in the band and all those kind of things, too. So growing up had a big influence on my life.
What, you know, in education and in higher education in particular, many of us tend to still use a model for education that has been around for, you know, 200 years, traditional sort of pedagogy, that sort of thing. And with the world changing around us today and students' expectations being greater than and different than they've been in the past, what are some of the challenges that you see facing those of us in higher education to be able to adapt and to meet the expectations of today's college student?
Well, I really think what we're doing is going to just make us better. One of the things that we are doing more closely than ever before are guided pathways. Many times we've had a cafeteria style of education in community colleges where people pick and choose and experiment, and that's okay, but we're trying to make sure we intervene with students and help them go from A to Z and help them be successful. And so that's kind of exciting. At McLennan, we have a new program called Achieving the Dream, and we're really vested in helping students be successful. And another priority we have that used to not be talked about too much is to help our students graduate debt-free. And we really can do that in this community because of the commitment of so many people. The MAC program is providing opportunities for students to go to school in McLennan County. At McLennan, our board many years ago decided that they would give the top 10% of all the students in McLennan County a full ride of tuition and fees if they maintain a 3.0 GPA. So we have many students who participate in that. The Rappaport Foundation gave us a first-generation grant, so we have a cohort of students, which is really a good way for students to stay attached. So we have the first-generation program. We have Honors College, which they're doing incredible things. Those students are really prepared for the four-year university. I have presidential scholars, so I spend probably more time with students than some might. The students who are part of the presidential program, they also have tuition and fees and books. We have monthly meetings, and we hear from great speakers. They meet with me once a semester, and we talk about their career goals. And they do volunteer work in the community. So there are a lot of good things going on there, but there's a lot more focus on the student than there used to be. In the early days, we would admit them and we'd say, here you are. Mm-hmm. When you get at the end, we'll give you a diploma.
Right.
And we would see them then, but and would give them a degree. But now we know that we have some responsibility, too, to make sure that we help them along the way to get a great education. So,
are there things that y'all are experiencing in terms of changing? We talked about the new expectations of the students. What about the community and the employers in the community? Are you seeing a difference in the sort of requests and demands from the local community and in terms of from an employability standpoint that y'all are being asked to respond to as well?
Well, we're continuing to really focus on the health careers area and emergency services and mental health and all of those things with for employers. One of our programs that we have that really came as a result of the quality enhancement plan with our accrediting agency was with emotional intelligence. And so we're really focused on helping students learn emotional intelligence that helps them do better while they're in college, but transfers over to when they do go to those employers.
For those of you who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Rob Wolliver, and I'm talking today with Dr. Johnette McCowan, president of McLennan Community College. Johnette, you know, both TSTC and MCC are experiencing, are enjoying our 50th anniversary this year, our celebration of 50 years of serving the folks of the greater Waco and of the state of Texas. So you want to talk a little bit about activities and things that MCC is doing in relation to y'all's 50th celebrations?
Well, we're just really beginning that. We're at the start of it. We're going to have a business after hours. There's some other activities going on. I really should say that we're an all-Steinway school. So something coming up right away is going to be a concert with the three tenors. And these students have excelled exceedingly, and that's on September the 10th. It's a free concert. And I hope that many people will have an opportunity to enjoy that. Then all year long, we're having events. We're going to have our big gala next year, but we have other things coming up. We have the President's Concert, where Gail Wade and Donnie Balmus are going to do a dual concert. That's going to be a great thing. So there are many activities that are going on all year. 50 years ago, our forefathers were really foresight in finding out that we needed a college. We had our graduation recently this week, and it dawned on me as I saw all of the students going across the stage. In 1965, there was no McLennan Community College. So we're very excited to be celebrating that. I talked to Dr. Ball periodically, who was the first president, and he tells me that Paul Marable is the one who really saw the need for a community college, and he began the discussion. One of the first things he did was talk to Abner McCall, because some people were fearful that Baylor would not really be supportive of having another college, but he was totally supportive. And that really helped, as we had other people in our community who pushed it forward. And Murray Watson was another good friend to us during that time. And all of the people I've heard you mention before had something to do with ensuring that we were successful. Henry Griffin was very involved. Bob Sheehy and his son still on our board today. So it's been a wonderful 50 years. There have probably been 25,000 students who have a degree that wouldn't have had it before. So we're excited about the future.
Well, and you mentioned that, Jeanette, and Waco is uniquely situated that we have three outstanding institutions of higher education here, all serving different needs, different markets. Can you talk a little bit about the collaboration of the three institutions in the Waco community?
Yes, I'd love to do that, plus the fact that we have the University Center with Texas Tech in Tarleton, and we have many students who complete there. But between Baylor and TSTC and MCC, there are many things that we do together. With Baylor, particularly, we have the Baylor Bound Program, so that if we have students who come to us who really, they really want to go to Baylor, they can be have a lot of pride in coming to MCC first. They can plan well, and then they can complete a degree with absolutely no debt in the first 2 years. And that's really important, so that the Baylor degree is affordable. It's just a matter of planning well. And for all of our students, whether you're going to go to UT or you're going to go to A&M or Texas State or UTA or Tarleton or Texas Tech, if you plan well, it can be an affordable opportunity that then our students get good jobs. And with Tarleton and Texas Tech here right on the MCC campus, we have a lot of students who are completing bachelor's, master's, and even doctorate degrees right here in Waco, and that's a great opportunity. And then the things we do with TSTC. I mean, I meet, as you well know, you and I meet every month to kind of talk about what are we missing in collaborating, and I still meet with Elton Stuckley, and I have conversations with Mike Reeser. Recently, Mike and I had a really good talk about how we can collaborate together statewide. It's just important. Together we're stronger than any of us are apart. So it's an exciting place to be in Waco, and we also collaborate with the schools. The dual credit is very important. All those rules are changing, too, to where students can even begin earlier to start their college careers. It's important. Our relationships are critical.
One of the projects that you mentioned that we're both institutions are involved in, as well as some of the local ISDs, is Project Link, which is an effort of the Prosper Waco Initiative. You want to talk a little bit about Project Link and what MCC's involvement is, and where we're headed with that project?
Well, I'm very excited that this could be a project that we will want to model all over the county. And what we have is we have a kind of an embedded counselor at La Vega and two at university. And we are working, we have a person on our campus. TSDC has a counselor on their campus. There are counselors at La Vega and university. And we're going to work with a cohort of students to ensure that they can get through what they're doing and help them make a good career choice and finish their first 2 years here in Waco, or maybe just get a certificate. So I think with that intensive help that we're really going to see a lot of good successes for us, and to help those students who might not get help otherwise, because particularly if they're a first-generation student, those students may not have anybody at home to ask what to do.
You know, one of the things, too, that I'm so impressed with MCC is the full scale of things, not only just instructional programs, but other activities associated with the college, whether it be fine arts, whether it be, you know, community service, those sorts of things. But I know, I want to ask you about, you know, Coach Thompson was a half inning away from a national championship this year. So I know you and the folks at MCC are extremely proud of Mitch and all the kids on the baseball team. So I'll give you a minute to talk about what that experience was like. I know you traveled to all of those. A little bit about what the experience was like going to the playoffs in the Junior College World Series.
Well, that was especially meaningful to me. It was an exciting time. Coach Thompson has done a great job along with Coach Berry. And we now have Coach Dillon who's joined them. And what's important, though, are the students themselves. And they clearly understand that they're students first, that they may play baseball and they may not. But they are going to need to earn a living with what they're doing. So they really focus on the right things. And we have other athletic teams. We have basketball and we have golf and we have softball and we have our dance team who does really well. But we had not been to the national tournament since 1983 when Rick Butler took them there. So it's just good for the kids. It's good for our recruiting. So it was really an exciting time. And actually, while I was in Grand Junction, I took a little side trip on an afternoon they didn't have a game and went to Hanksville, Utah, and saw a couple of locations where our students have a geology field course, and then they do a Mars trip in the spring. We send a team there. So it's just good to see all the good things that the students are doing, whether it's fine arts or whether it's athletics, or and for us, we're broader than that, as you say. We have been very successful with skill development grants where we're working closely with our local employers to help them maximize training and to start new projects and that kind of thing. So there are many good things going on at MCC.
You know, I'm extremely impressed, too, by a group of students, young people, that you have in your Presidential Scholars Program. Tell us a little bit about that program.
Well, I work very closely with about 20 students a year. We also have a couple of Czech exchange students, so that's part of the cohort. We're going to go to On Topic with Ken Starr coming up pretty soon, and we've got great speakers coming to talk to them about what's going to be going on. And this year we're doing a business course, and we'll take some students to New York City. We'll have some of the Honors College students with us. So Clifton Robinson's going to talk to them. We'll have other Ian McCall from Baylor, another of our partnerships, is going to come and talk about leadership to those students. And this last year, I had three 4.0 students going straight to Baylor and in the College of Business with good scholarships. And one of them, I had another one in social work who got this scholarship. Many people may not know that if the students are eligible for the MAC program, Baylor gives the top three MAC graduates a full ride to Baylor. And so that's an incredible opportunity that these students would not have. And so of the three that got the scholarships this year, two were two of my scholars, and one is in business and one's in social work. So here in Waco, there's so many great opportunities.
I know one of the things, too, I've been there several times, but recently had the chance to visit the Emergency Services Center that y'all have quite a facility and quite the programs that you have. You want to talk a little bit about the Emergency Services Center and the programs associated with that?
Yes, that's really a great center. It's a partnership with the City of Waco, actually. The City of Waco gave us the land, so we built the facility out there, so we had plenty of room. We have criminal justices out there, our law enforcement academy. We train police officers for the area. Our EMT program is there. Firefighting, we train firefighters at that facility, and we also host a large number of community events. We even have some people from City of Waco and the county who are located right there in our facility so that we can collaborate together in a very positive way.
Let's talk a little bit, if we would. This is a leadership series. Let's talk about, I want to ask you a few things about your leadership style and the way that you manage some of those issues that those of us in leadership positions have to do. Who in your past would you consider to be a significant influence on you in terms of the leadership style that you try to utilize from day to day?
It's really kind of hard to say one person. Of course, I've talked about my mother before, and then Nan Salisbury, who was the team leadership in Girl Scouts, because Girl Scouts is where I learned many leadership traits. And then also someone here locally, Al Pollard. Many people know Al. He really taught me a lot about relationships and the importance of that more than skills or abilities. So I think you learn from other people. One thing you learn from all of the folks that I've talked to is the importance of integrity.
For those of you who are just joining us now, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. My name's Rob Wolliver, and I'm talking today with Dr. Johnette McCowan, the president of McLennan Community College. You mentioned integrity, Johnette, in terms of an important trait. How do you manage maintaining those values on a day-to-day basis and trying to serve the multitude of employees and team members that you have at MCC that you're trying to motivate and to carry forward?
I think you carry that spirit of integrity in your public life and in your private life. And when you have integrity, it's not something you have to work to do. It's just, you know, when you go home at night, you can sleep well because who people see in public and private is the same person. And I find that's very important because if a person doesn't tell you the truth or doesn't have integrity in one thing, I question what else is out there. But I think that's very important. In my own life, my faith and my spiritual walk is very important. I don't know how people go through the day without that. So I think if you have a strong faith, that integrity is just one of those components. And also being a servant. If you understand that you're less important than everybody else, that really helps keep your head on straight.
You know, one of the things that I think you and I probably share is we have to constantly be thinking about succession planning, whether it be for us or other components of the institution. So we're constantly working with folks and trying to build new leaders to follow that succession planning. In those conversations that you have with some of those new leaders or potential leaders, what kind of advice do you have for them in terms of what it takes to be a successful leader?
The first thing I think is you have to be who you are, and you have to be the same person every day so people don't have to wonder about who you are. And another thing that I've noticed over time is that I've always wanted to do more than was expected and not less, and not expecting payment for that. When people feel like you're genuine and you can be trusted and that you're not afraid to work hard and that you're a team player, that you make people comfortable being around you, that you're approachable, all of those things are important to being a leader, I believe.
This is a challenge we all face, but when you're faced with either tough decisions or strategic decisions that have to be made, what are the resources that you try to utilize to come up with either different ideas, new ideas, or the right way to that path to that decision?
Well, I always seek input from my vice presidents or others. So I seek input, I'm reading a book, Leadership on the Line. We're about to do some training with my VPs. And one of the things it talks about is sitting up in the balcony and looking down at what's going on and not just rush in without evaluating what all the possibilities are, because there are consequences to all of our decisions. They can be good and they can be bad. So you've got to be, I always evaluate the risk of what the decision's going to be and try to do the right thing.
Let me conclude, Johnette, one by saying, so that you know you and I have had this conversation, but the listeners well know that how much I appreciate the relationship between McLennan Community College and TSTC and the supportive nature of our relationship and the friendship that we have. But also to thank you for being a guide and a mentor to me. You've been doing this in a role a few months longer than I have. So I appreciate the guidance and the influence that you've had on me, and I certainly appreciate the friendship that we've developed, as well as the friendships that we've developed with other folks at MCC. So thank you for visiting today, and it's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much, Rob.
This conversation was recorded August 20th, 2015, in the KWBU studios.